Good evening, everybody. So as I mentioned, we were in Australia for the last couple of days, and we had the opportunity to really spend time being Marbitz Torah there, which was a tremendous privilege on our part. But there are many different questions that come up when visiting that part of the world. And something that I wanted to speak about tonight is an issue that I had to look into before I left, and that is with regard to the seasons, because the seasons of the year in the Northern Hemisphere are the reverse, are the opposite of the seasons of the year as they occur in the Southern Hemisphere, because as we know, the Earth is tilted toward the sun in the opposite direction at each time of the year. So the longest day of the year for them in the Southern Hemisphere is December 21st. Longest day for us is in the middle of June. So everything is really in the opposite direction. The warmest months for them are during January and February. That's when they have their summer vacation. And the summer vacation for us is when we have warm during July and August. So everything seems to be a little bit off balance when you're going and traveling to the other side of the world. So that's very fascinating. It's very interesting. It's very nice. But it makes one think about an area of halacha that would be impacted by this difference. And that is, when it comes to tefillah, the recitation of Mashiv HaRuach and Mesein Talumatar. And that is actually a fascinating shaila, a very interesting one. It's relevant not only there, I think it's relevant here in the United States as well, just for us to develop the sugya and understand a little bit what goes behind this psak. First of all, we know that the halacha is, when one daven Shmona Esrei, if it's at a time of year that you're supposed to recite Mashiv HaRuach, and you forgot to say Mashiv HaRuach, so the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly in Hilchas Tefillah that you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. When do you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei? Only if you finished off the bracha Mechai HaMesim and then moved on to the next bracha of Hakel HaKadosh, right? Only if you started the next bracha. However, if you remember after saying Mechai HaMesim, you catch yourself and you realize I didn't say Mashiv HaRuach, Shulchan Aruch says you say Mashiv HaRuach Amor HaGeshem right there, and then you go on to the next bracha of Hakel HaKadosh. That's the halacha on Shulchan Aruch. From here, the Mishnah Berurah says, why would that be the case? If you're supposed to say Mashiv HaRuach and you miss Mashiv HaRuach in the middle of the bracha, how does it help to say it right there in between paragraphs? Explains the Mishnah Berurah, because until you start the next paragraph in the Shmona Esrei, it's considered to be as if you're still be'emsa HaBracha. And therefore writes the Mishnah Berurah, it would be okay to say the Mashiv HaRuach there, because so long as you have not begun Hakel HaKadosh, it's not considered to be as if you've completed the Mechaya HaMesim Bracha. Okay, very nice. From there writes the Mishnah Berurah, one second, let's just say the general halacha, okay? From there, writes the Mishnah Berurah, we can probably infer that if it comes to Yalav Yavo, and a person realizes they forgot to say Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, so we know that if you completed the whole Shemona Esrei, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei, you have to say it again. And the same would be on Rosh Chodesh. You have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you forgot Yalav Yavo by Shachris or Mincha. Maariv is a separate story on Rosh Chodesh why you don't have to repeat, but Shachris and Mincha, if you forget Yalav Yavo, one must repeat the Shemona Esrei. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what if I forgot Yalav Yavo, but I remembered after I finished off the bracha of Visecha Zena, and before I started Modim. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, I'd be able to say the paragraph there based on the same logic. So long as you have not begun the next paragraph yet, there would be no objection to sticking in the insertion there in between the paragraph, because it's all considered to be a continuation. The problem is, what's very surprising to us, is the halacha is inconsistent when we talk about Birchas HaMazon. Comes to Birchas HaMazon, there are certain times of the year where you're supposed to have an addition into the Birchas HaMazon as well. For example, Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. So every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, you have to insert either Ritzei or Yalav Yavo. What's the halacha on Shabbos if I forgot to say Ritzei? I have to go back and repeat the benching again. My father likes to say, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, some people look at it and say, wow, we're so machmir on Shabbos that we say that you have to say over benching again if you forget Ritzei. Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's the opposite. We're makel on you. Really, you should have had to eat a whole Suda Shabbos again and then bench over. And instead, we're makel and we say, you just have to repeat the benching. We're all laughing. Rav Soloveitchik actually built this up as a tremendous chiddush la'halacha, and he explained it based on the halacha, how he got to this conclusion. So he says, we're makel on the person, and we say, you really should have had to eat a whole nother Suda Shabbos again, starting with kiddush, ending with benching, with Ritzei and Yalav Yavo, and whatever, and instead we're going to be makel and make it a little bit easier for you, and we're going to tell you that all you need to do is repeat the benching over. You don't need to go back and eat the whole Suda Shabbos again. Okay, parenthetically. So, that's the halacha. You forget Ritzei or Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat the benching. What happens if I forgot Ritzei or Yalav Yavo and I didn't yet move on to the next bracha in the benching? So there's the new benchers. We have this fancy little yirat, fancy bracha that you're supposed to say in. What if I have the old benchers, right? The old siddur where they didn't have any of this. So what am I supposed to do? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, if you forgot the bracha entirely, if you finished off the bracha and you forgot Ritzer Yalav Yavo, you need to repeat the benching. Ask the Bir Alecha, the Mishnah Berurah asks in the Bir Alecha, why is this inconsistent from the way we paskin by Shemona Esrei? Shemona Esrei, if I forget Mashiv Bracha Yalav Yavo and I didn't yet move on to the next bracha, I'm allowed to insert it right there. Explains the Mishnah Berurah because it's all considered to be a continuation of the bracha I'm saying. However, when it comes to Birchas Hamazon, for some reason it seems to be different. For some reason there, even if a person has not yet begun the next bracha, the fourth bracha, we say that you have to bench over. Why is that the case? Why shouldn't I be able to insert it the same way I would be able to by the Shemona Esrei? That's a very interesting question, which, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah leaves off with a Tzarech Iyun LaHalacha. Mishnah Berurah says he's not sure why we have this inconsistency. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a suggestion. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gives his own suggestion in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa. There are suggestions out there. But the Mishnah Berurah's question is a very strong one. Why there's a differentiation that's drawn between the way we would act when we forget something by benching as opposed to the way we would act if we forgot something by the Shemona Esrei. Let's just move on a little bit into this issue. So we come to the issue of V'sein Talu Matir Lebracha. When do we start to say V'sein Talu Matir Lebracha? Let's just break it down to a few different categories. We start with people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is discussed explicitly in the Mishnah Maseches Tainus Daf Yud. The Mishnah says, when are we supposed to start asking for rain? Well, it would probably make sense to start asking for rain when we need the rain, during the season when we need the rain to fall in order that the plant should be able to grow. So the Gemara says, that season begins right after Sukkot. We assume that the season begins then, and therefore we should really begin to ask for rain right at the conclusion of the holiday of Sukkot, which is why we start saying Mashav HaRuach there. So we really should begin to say V'sein Talu Matir then as well. Says the Mishnah, no. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to wait. Why do we wait? Says the Mishnah, Rami Gamliel is of the opinion we wait 2 weeks after Sukkot to begin to ask for the rain. Why is that the case? So he says, Kidei she'agia acharon shebi Yisrael nahar paras. Says Rami Gamliel, imagine what's going to happen. Somebody schleps all the way to Yerushalayim, travels 2 weeks' time to get there for Aliyah Leregel, to bring his karbanos. He has a phenomenal yamtiv. He really enjoyed himself. Now he's on his way back, and he gets stuck because his wagon can't travel because it's raining outside, and all the roads are muddy. We don't want that to happen. And therefore the Gemara says, even though it's true that the world does need rain then, even though it's true that this is the rainy season, we're going to push it off 2 weeks to begin to ask for the rain, in order that the last Jew who traveled from the furthest, most remote location for the Aliyah Leregel will be able to get home safely. An interesting chiddush that the Meiri asks is, well then, why don't we stop asking for rain 2 weeks before Pesach? Because you have the Aliyah Leregel people coming up 2 weeks before Pesach, we don't want them getting stuck in the rain either. So that's an interesting question. Why is it that we go all the way till Pesach, whereas we start only 2 weeks after Sukkot, we should really end 2 weeks before Pesach? Anyway, interesting question, but that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara there says that we even should have a possibility. The Gemara throws out this possibility. Maybe we should assume that there are two different times when we should start V'sein Talu Matir in Eretz Yisrael. If the Beis HaMikdash is Banui, if the Beis HaMikdash is around and people are going to do Aliyah LeRegel, we should wait till 2 weeks after Yontif. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, we should really start right after Yontif. The same time that we start Mashav HaRuach, we should begin to say V'sein Talu Matir. That makes a lot of logical sense, because that is the season. And the only reason why we push it off is for the Aliyah LeRegel. That is what the Gemara throws out as a possibility. Some Rishonim say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the Rif and the Rambam insist that no, we have a uniform standard. This is what we do in Eretz Yisrael. Whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or no Beis HaMikdash, we don't want to get people confused. We always wait 2 weeks until after Yom Tov, and that is when we begin to ask for the rain in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, as mentioned, this is all with regard to V'sein Talu Matir in Eretz Yisrael. Now let's get to the discussion of V'sein Talu Matir in Chutz La'aretz. What do we do then? So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael we wait 2 weeks. However, in Chutz La'aretz, based on the calculations in Bavel, when does the rainy season start? Around the same time, but 60 days later. So it turns out to be December 4th or December 5th, if it's a leap year. That's all written in our Sidurim. My son's birthday is December 4th, and he is always wondering why it is that in the Sidurim something special happens on December 4th. I said, they all celebrate your birthday. Something very, very exciting. So,
December 4th, or is it dependent on China?
Meaning my son's birthday?
No, on the astronomy.
Yeah. So someone actually asked this question to Ramosha Feinstein. And they asked Rav Moshe, well, if you do the math, how could it be December 4th, 5th? That really doesn't add up. It should make a difference based on whatever. And Rav Moshe writes that he really went crazy on this person. The person asked a very scientific question, which is exactly what you're asking. Makes sense. Maybe in Bavel, December 4th, 5th may have corresponded to something, but even then, December 4th, 5th shouldn't make sense. It should depend on exactly where the sun is and where the season is up to. Anyway, that's a question Rav Moshe gets into, and the person asked a very innocent question to Rav Moshe. How does it make sense scientifically with the way we understand astronomy and the way we understand the world and the seasons? And Rav Moshe really went ballistic on him. I'm not sure exactly why. I remember learning that shuva with my father, and he said he also couldn't understand why Rav Moshe was usually very soft and very sweet and very kind, and all of a sudden somebody sent him just a very nice, simple question, and he went totally berserk. There must have been a backstory to this.
Yeah.
No. So that was the question that was asked to Rav Moshe. Are we just denying the reality that's going on in the world? Anyway, that's the basic question, but the bottom line is that December 4th, 5th is when it's supposed to be. Now the Ritva explains. Where do we come up with that cheshbon? How do we come up with that? The Ritva says this was a question that was asked in the times of the Gemara. In the times of the Gemara, everybody lived in Bavel. So they made the calculation based on the seasons in Bavel, and they came to the understanding that 60 days after Yom Tov is when the season starts, and that's when we begin to say the same Talamater in Bavel. That's the way the Ritva explains it. Now, says the Ritva, what happens if someone lives in a country in Bavel that has a different kind of season? So he says, let's say you're a few days off. He doesn't say if you're a whole season off. He says, what if you're a few days off? Let's get into the next discussion. So we look at a Gemara, where the Gemara tells us there again in Maseches Tainis Daf Yudal, that the Anshe Nineveh, there was a community in Nineveh. So Nineveh is generally notoriously known for the story of Yonah. But Nineveh in the Gemara is notoriously known for this story, which is a halachic shaila. The Jews who lived in Nineveh asked the following question of Rebbe. They wanted to know, Bitkufas Tammuz Ba'inan Mitra. We live in a very unusual condition. And they said, we need rain at a different time of the year. So, Hei Navid, they asked him, what should we do? We know that you say the Saint Talamater from 60 days after Sukkot until Pesach, but we need to continue the Saint Talamater even after Pesach. Because whatever, the way the seasons work out by us, we need the rain even later on in the year. So they asked, how should we deal with that? Should we assume that we are like Yechidim? Or should we assume that we are like a Rabbim? What does that mean, like Yechidim or a Rabbim? So he says, what it means is, the Gemara explains, if a Yachid, if an individual ever has a personal need, so they're not going to change the Shemona Esrei for the entire community. We don't get up and say, oh, we're going to change the whole community Shemona Esrei. No, we're going to keep the Shemona Esrei the same. And you can add something into your own Shema Koleinu, your own Bakasha. You need a Parnasa, you add it into Baruch Aleinu. You need a Refuah, you add it into Rifa'enu. Everyone else in the shul is going to daven normally. So that's the way a Yachid deals with his or her own problem. They say something specific in their own Shemona Esrei. If there's a problem for the entire Tzibur, let's say in Eretz Yisrael every so often there's a drought, and people really need rain. So they add Va'anenu Bariyolam. They add a whole paragraph into the Shemona Esrei, not one person at a time. The entire Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur, when he gets up to Davin, adds the paragraph into the Shemona Esrei on behalf of the entire country that needs the water, that needs to be able to survive. There's a difference between a Yachid who has an issue and a Rabbim. So they wanted to know, we're a small community out in Nineveh. We got a little problem that we say the Saint Talamater till Pesach. Really, that's not sufficient. We want to know, should we add in a special tefillah into our private Shemona Esrei? Or would you say that all of us should continue to say the Saint Talamater even later on after Pesach? And Rebbe answered, very, very unusual answer, and he said, you're like Yechidim, even though it's your community, you're just like a bunch of little people, there's nobody there, and therefore, since you're a small community, you should add it into Shomea Tefillah. So you stop saying the same Talamata at the same time the rest of the world does, and you add it in your own personal Shemona Esrei, you should say it in Shomea Tefillah. That's what the Maskana de Gemara is. Based on this, the Rambam writes, it's important to know the dates here, the Rambam lived in the end of the 12th century, the Rambam writes that, based on this, he says, we should always go with the uniform standard. I don't know what he's referring to when he says the islands that are very far away. I don't know if he means somewhere in the Pacific, but he says there are islands that are very far away and they need rain at different times of the year. We should follow the same standard that the Gemara gives us, the same formula. And if you want to have rain at a different time of the year, you can always add to Shomea Tefillah the same way you can add for anything else. That's what the Rambam says. And in the 1500s, the Shulchan Aruch a few hundred years later, paskins like this Rambam and says, this is what we always do. And he says that if a community feels that they need rain to extend past Pesach, then they should just add it in to Shema Kolenu. Okay, not all the Rishonim accept this position. Most notably, obviously the Rambam is a very important player in the discussion of the Rishonim, but most notably the Rush. The Rush disagrees. Now the Rush is also of very high caliber. I mean, who are we to rate the Rishonim? But when you talk about who's important in the halachic discussion, the Beis Yosef himself says that the Rambam and the Rush are two very important figures that we always have to contend with. So you have, on the one hand, the Rambam says that we keep to the schedule, everyone does the same, and it doesn't matter where you live. If you have a personal issue, then you add it into Shomei HaTefillah. The Rush disagrees, and he says, how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. How is it possible that we're going to live at a certain place in the world where we need rain, and we're not going to ask for it? And he says, why, we have the Gemara by Anshei Nineveh, where the Gemara says that these Jews in Nineveh asked the question, they were told, you shouldn't change the Shemona Esrei. So if you don't change the Shemona Esrei, doesn't that mean that nobody should ever change the Shemona Esrei? Says the Rush, no, that was a unique situation because that was at the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he says, when all the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, and there was this far-flung community in Nineveh that was all alone, so then he told them, you should just stick to the program and do like everyone else and don't change the Shemona Esrei. But now when the Jews are all over the world and people are living in communities and there is no main hub of the Jewish people, so therefore he says every community really has to do based on the understanding scientifically of when they need the rain. What, are we going to stick our heads in the sand, like you just said, and ignore the reality as if we don't know what the seasons correspond to? Of course we do. We know exactly what the seasons are. And therefore he says we should change the Shemona Esrei and we should say the Saint Talamantar when it is actually relevant. And therefore, the Rush said that he supported the decision of the French community in Provence. The Chachmei Provence was a very robust community at the time. And the Rush says that he visited Provence, and there they felt that they needed rain longer than the season of Pesach, and therefore they started to say V'sein Talamater extended past Pesach, and he thought that that was the right thing to do. And the Rush supported that decision. Not only that, the Rush writes that when he went to Germany, in Ashkenaz, they also had a different kind of calculation of when they needed the rain, and it was not just until Pesach, they felt they needed it until Shavuos, and they extended it. And in his opinion, he felt that agricultural needs are different in Germany, the climate changes are different in Germany than they are in other communities, and therefore he said that he felt in his position that they should say V'sein Talamater whenever it is relevant to them. However, he ends up this whole long tshuva, this whole long discussion, he makes the whole argument, and then he says, but halacha lemaisa, the bottom line is, the Rush says, I'm afraid to say this. Why? Which is also unusual of the Rush. He's never afraid to say anything. Why is he afraid to say it here? The Rush says, because I know that not everyone's going to accept my position. It sounds too strange. And therefore the Rush says, you know what kind of fights are going to break out? You're going to have one chazan who gets up, he has yartzai, he's going to get up in shul, he's going to say V'sein Talamater after Pesach. The next person's going to start yelling at him. What do you mean we don't say V'sein Talamater Pesach already? The other one, the whole fight's going to break out every day in shul. You're going to have one chazan getting up, the other one saying, no, you can't daven for the amud, you don't follow the shul's nusach. No, this is the shul's nusach. Said the Rush, not a good idea. If everybody decided this is what we do, then this is what we do. And he says, kidei shelo yasu agudas agudas, we don't want to break apart the Jewish community. Therefore, even though I believe that it's wrong, an amazing psak of the Rush, even though I believe it's wrong and it doesn't correspond to the reality of where we are in Germany right now, still writes the Rush, this is what all of us should do. Yeah?
Well, we've been so Shkodesh for Yerushalayim.
Right.
Right? So, according to the Rush, shouldn't we each then ben so Shkodesh for when the Molid is? Shouldn't we be announcing the Molid for each location then?
Right, so we announce the Molad for Yerushalayim based on the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that we should do that for a specific reason, because when they were Kobea, Rosh Chodesh, and Yerushalayim, the message got out to everywhere else. So that's a little bit of a different example. It's a little bit of a different example, but it's a good question. Why is it that sometimes we don't really follow the reality on the ground here? But now, until now, we're dealing with everybody who's on the northern hemisphere of the globe. And the question then became, okay, should we extend it a little bit more? Should we extend it a little past Pesach? And the Rush says, well, what about France and what about Germany? Okay, Nineveh, all these communities are not so far away from each other, yeah?
So what happens if the Rabbanim in Israel decide that, you know what, we need a longer rain period after Pesach? You know, just like they're deciding in other communities, would that then be allowed to be done in Israel?
Why not?
So then they could say that, all right, we're going to say Saint Talmud even further.
Same thing. Yeah, that would be the same. That's what the Rush feels. Now, the entire Shaila takes on a whole new twist when you have Jews starting to live in the Southern Hemisphere, which was a new phenomenon. It happens to be when I was in Australia, they told us that it's a very unique community. In many different ways, it's very unique. But the Jewish community in Australia is almost entirely a post-Shoah community. They told me that they had the highest number of survivors per capita. It was in Australia. That was where a lot of survivors were able to find respite. A lot of them were able to go freely. The Australian government was very kind and generous and allowed many of the Jewish community to come in. And most of the explosion of the Jewish community, I shouldn't say explosion, it's not that big. But most, just to give you a context, we were in Sydney for a day. The entire Frum community in Sydney is smaller than the membership of the Young Israel of Woodmere. Gives you a picture, right? So I spoke in a number of the shuls, and I gave a shiur on a yacht, which was amazingly fun and interesting. But you basically cover the entire city in one day. There's not so much going on there. Melbourne is a much more robust Jewish community, a lot going on there. And that all happened pretty much after the Shoah, because all of them, many people were survivors and then built their families and built the community, and all of that started. South Africa is the same. South Africa was something that really picked up from, I looked online today, from 1880 to 1914, the Jewish population in South Africa grew from 4,000 Jews to 40,000. So this is really a pretty new phenomenon. South America is the same. In Argentina and Brazil and Chile and Mexico, that all picked up in the mid-1800s. This was something that was not so popular. There were not Jews traveling the globe before 100 years ago. This was something that is a very, very new phenomenon to us. So what's interesting is the first time that this is discussed is by the Maher Chash. Who's the Maher Chash? He is Reb Chaim Shabtai from Salonika. A little confusing because his Rebbe, he was a Talmud of the Maher Shach. So his Rebbe was the Maher Shach, and he is the Maher Chash. Interesting. They had totally different names. It just turned out that that's the way they go down in history. So in the beginning of the 1700s, he gets a shaila from the Jews living in Brazil. And there are Jews in Brazil who send him the question, and they say, look, everyone that's discussed the shaila until now is just discussing, okay, a little bit different here, a little bit different there. We're talking about an entirely different hemisphere. The seasons are backwards from the way we know them in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe we should change Mashav HaRuach and the Saint Talamater entirely. We're going to say it flip. Instead of saying it from Sukkot to Pesach, we're going to say it from Pesach to Sukkot. That would make sense for us. So here, the question now becomes a reality. And he says, his main point is, how is it possible, he has a tshuva sefer called Taras Chaim, where this is published. And he says, how is it possible that we're going to tell a person that it's advisable to daven for something, shehura umaziklo? We're going to tell you to offer a tefillah for something that's detrimental to your well-being? Would we tell someone that they should daven Shmoneh Esrei every day that they should get sick? Doesn't make sense. Would we tell someone they should daven and offer a tefillah every day in Shemoneh Esrei that they should be fired from their job? That wouldn't make any sense. So therefore he argues, how could it possibly be that we would advise a community to daven for something that is detrimental to them? Not just it's not helpful. If it rains during that season of the year, it's terrible. It's going to ruin everything. So how can we tell people to do that? That doesn't make any sense. And he says that this is something that bothered him very much. And he thinks that because we have this whole discussion in the Rishonim and Machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush, exactly what to do in those communities where it's a little bit off. Therefore, he says, my suggestion is that you should say the entire year, you should say the Saint Talamater in Shema Koleinu. He says, I don't have the gumption to say that we should change it entirely, that you're going to break off from the rest of the world, but he says, I at least suggest that you should say it in Shema Koleinu. Okay, that's what he believes. 150 years later, you come to Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, who's one of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim, and the Shaila Sechuvas Har Tzvi, he receives a Shaila from New Zealand. So it's like amazing how this actually happened as history was unfolding. In the 1700s, the Jews finally reached Brazil, and that's when they sent a Shaila to the Gadol Hador at the time. Then in the early 1900s, the Jews were in New Zealand for the first time, and they sent a Shaila up to Yerushalayim to Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank to ask him what to do. And he says, look, you know, I'm not sure exactly what to say, but all I can tell you, says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, is we have not accepted the opinion of the Rush. The proof is in the pudding. Go to Germany, go to France, go to America. Even though it doesn't correspond to anything, we do not change the Saint Talamater from the way it is explained in the Gemara. Clearly, we have not accepted the opinion of the Rush. And therefore, he says, if we didn't accept it for the Northern Hemisphere, Why would we accept any change for the southern hemisphere? It should be the same, and we would keep the equation the same. That's what he writes. Now, one could argue that this is not really true, because while it's true that we have not accepted the opinion of the Rush, that's just because we're off a little bit. The seasons are basically the same, but it might be slightly off. Here we're talking about an entirely different part of the world where the seasons are backwards, and it really, or we're backwards, whichever way you look at it, but it doesn't seem to make sense that we should go entirely against the reality of what we are experiencing today. Which brings us to the next Tshuva Sefer, which is the Shevet HaLevi. Shevet HaLevi is Rav Vosner, lived in Bnei Brak, in our generation. He just passed away within the last 10 years. And he is sent to Shaila from the community in South America in Uruguay. And he says, it comes down to the same point. They're also in the Southern Hemisphere, but all of this is a fascinating, riveting discussion. What I thought was interesting was, when I mentioned it to some of the people down there, I mentioned it to a few Talmidei Chachamim when I got there. I said, do you do anything during Shmona Esrei? There was a Chabad Rav, a Talmud Chacham in Sydney that I was talking to. He came to one of my shiurim, so I asked him afterward. I said, do you change the Shmona Esrei Baruch Aleinu? He said, no, we don't do that. So he knew exactly what I was talking about. I went over to somebody else who was not as learned, and I said, do the communities in Melbourne change anything in Baruch Aleinu? He like didn't even know what I was talking about. He's like, why would we change? What, like, I don't even know what the discussion is. So actually, this first rabbi, Rabbi Gerari, told me that, well, we don't change that, but there are plenty of other things that we change. I said, yes, I got it. You face differently. You know, you don't face Mizrach. You face Yerushalayim, which is opposite, whatever, upside down, stand on your head. But he said, we do something else different. I'm trying to think, what else do you do different? And he said, think about it. I'm like thinking, what else could possibly be different? He says, well, the Nanuim on Sukkos. I'm like, Nanuim on Sukkos? Why would that be backwards? I couldn't understand. We still do Mizrach Marav. He said, no, based on Kabbalah Svarim, the Arizal and others say, it's not just Mizrach Marav, it's Yerushalayim, something like that. So he says, there, I don't know, either it is Yerushalayim or it's Mizrach Marav, something like that. So he said, based on Sifrei Kabbalah, he said that when the whole shul stands doing Nanuim this way, he turns around and does it the other way. Okay, I said, that's what?
It's just the Chabad.
I don't know. Do they all do that, or that's just his own Chumrah? I'm not sure. No, I'm saying, but all the Chabad there does it? Or it's just him. Chabad has their own Chumrah now. I don't know if it's a Chumrah or a Kula. It's very unusual. The last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a tremendous Chiddush when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer and the dateline. So he said that you continue on with your own count and you don't integrate yourself to wherever you are. And therefore he said you're going to keep 3 days of Shavuos potentially because you're going to have your own Shavuos and then you're going to keep Shavuos with everybody else. That's a rejected opinion outside of the communities of Chabad that has not been accepted at all. It's a Pella of a Chiddush that he said. It's a very big Chiddush. Anyway, this is a riveting discussion to me. I think it's interesting to understand how all of this develops, but to me, one very important takeaway is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Kuf Yudal and Hilchos Tfila, what if a person mistakenly says, Mashav HaRuach Bimos HaChama? Right, so Shulchan Aruch. We're not supposed to say Mashav HaRuach now. Now it's the summer season. What if somebody mistakenly says it? Writes the Mechaber, Machzir Noso LeRosh HaBracha. We make you go back to the beginning of Shemona Esrei. Writes the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because we know that rain now would be detrimental to the crops. So we don't want to daven for something that's going to be harmful, that's going to be detrimental, so therefore we would send the person back. Writes the Taz, Kivan Shiesh Bimos HaChama Zman Shagashamim Kashim Liolam. Since during this season of the year, if we have too much rain, it's going to damage the crops and all of our property. Zeh Yispalal Al HaGeshem Yaviyam. This person who said Mashav HaRuach is going to ruin everything. So I find that to be an amazing concept. You have one Shlomazel who's not paying attention, he's not looking at his sitter, and he made a mistake in the middle of the summer. How much is his tefillah worth anyway? He's not paying attention. Clearly he doesn't have kavana, because then he would have been looking in the sitter. So he's not really paying attention anyway. And his Shmona Esrei that said with no kavana is something that we're worried about. What's going to happen? He's going to say Mashav HaRuach, it's going to start raining. It's going to ruin all the crops. I think it shows us the Karach HaTefillah. Shulchan Aruch actually believes that our tefillah makes a difference. And therefore, he says, if a person says Mashav HaRuach in the wrong season, even if he has no kavana, even if he doesn't realize what he's saying, we make him go back. Why? Because that is a tefillah that's harmful to us. What do you mean it's harmful? Who cares what he said? The answer is, clearly, when you offer a tefillah, something happens.
Except in Australia.
Except in Australia, yeah. So that's the question. What do you do about Australia? That's a very good question. Well, that is why many of the Acharonim say you should add it into Shema Koleinu. Because the tefillah does matter. And therefore, during Shema Koleinu, you do have the right to add certain bakashas, and therefore you can do that there as well. But anyway,
but
I just found... What?
If
what?
If you say it in Australia, when you
I think you would, because the conventional psak there is that everyone follows the regular. What? I understand, but I think once the conventional psak has been that, I think we would say that the rules of Chazara during Shemona Esrei go back to the same rules that we generally follow around the world as well. Anyway, an interesting idea, interesting concept, and welcome back, everybody. We'll